Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. And today's reading is from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 1, and it can be found on page 68 of the New Testament section in your Bible. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter first, say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone there is who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking. Whatever they provide for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. A couple of things. First of all, I apologise if I splutter halfway through. I am not contagious. I have merely had a flu jab in the last 10 days, and that's what it gives you. Well, I guess what it gives me anyway. Some people get stiff arms. I get a cough. Those of you with a long memory will know exactly the same thing happened last year. So next year I'm not going to have one. I think we've decided it's enough. The second thing is, at this point it's my job to speak and yours to listen, and if you finish before I do, I'd be grateful if you let me know. It's easy, is it not, to get our priorities mixed up, where we treat as major that which is minor, and we treat as minor that which is crucial. It's easy also to condemn the indifference of others to others, but by indicting them, we may be condemning ourselves. So here's a question for you. Are we too busy with our jobs and other activities to take the time to think about and to rescue those who are perishing without Christ? I realise that's not a simple thing, trying to save others. We must be tactful, wait for the right opening before we talk to somebody about spiritual things. But if a person's response to the gospel is the deciding factor in where he or she will spend eternity, should we not do all that we can to get this crucial message across to them? In essence, do we have the proper sense of urgency about spiritual matters that we ought to have? Or could it be that we really just don't care? In our gospel reading today, Jesus sends the workers out with instructions and warnings, some of which don't apply directly to us. I don't imagine many of you will be walking between here and Fairford without a bag or a sandals on or anything like that. But many of the principles and the overall thrust of the passage do apply to us. And that overall thrust is The gospel is crucial because people will be judged eternally on the basis of their response to it. And that it's everyone's job to get this message across. And as I was thinking about today, four words kept surfacing through reading this gospel passage. Four words: prayer, mission, message, and urgency. Prayer, mission, message, and urgency. So prayer. Here's another question. Do you pray for the harvest? I don't mean the harvest we're going to celebrate next Sunday, or Thursday if you're coming to the Trout, you know, with corn and vegetables and all those sorts of things. I mean the Lord's harvest, the harvest of gathering people into his barns and into his eternal kingdom. I'll take you back to the reading. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Therefore, he says, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Well, let's be honest for a minute or two, shall we? I said a minute or two, and we're in church. Where wouldn't you be honest? We all pray for the things that matter the most to us. If we get sick, we pray for recovery. If we're in financial difficulty or need a job, we pray for those needs, because those things matter to us. But the important question really is, surely, does the Lord's harvest matter enough for us to pray often for it? And do we pray for enough workers called by God to celebrate and to work in the harvest field? Well, today, you heard Rob say at the very beginning, we are celebrating 150 years of Reader ministry, which in its modern form began in this very county at Standish near Stroud. There are around 20,000 readers across the country, but most over the age of 50, I could even say most over the age of 60, really, and not enough new people are offering themselves for training. And if you talk to Rob Mitchell afterwards, he'll tell you why. Because he's the last one that just went through the training, and it nearly corpsed him. Currently, you might ask yourself, actually, let's stop for a minute and think, well, why? So what? What does it matter? 20,000 readers, all right, some of them are getting on a bit, but is it important that we get some more young blood in there? Well, look at our local situation. Not literally, the South Cotswold Team Ministry. We have four full-time and two part-time priests looking after 25 parishes. There are plans afoot, you know. What happens when those numbers, six priests, are reduced to simply, say, four? A reader's job, most of it, is leading worship. What's going to happen to all those places where we can't get anybody? One of the problems you'll come across is you can't pray for workers for very long before the Lord taps you on the shoulder and says, what about you? I want you to work in my harvest. Which leads me to the second word, mission. The men in our reading went out with a sense of mission. Granted, it was a special mission. And not everyone is commissioned by God to do what they did. But if we're all commanded to seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, it's hard to escape the fact that we all should have a sense of mission from God. We may fulfill that mission in many different ways, according to our various gifts and situations. Look at the people who are helping to lead this worship this morning. They don't all wear a blue scarf. They don't all wear a long black frock, but they are all involved in the ministry of the laity in some way or another. Whatever we do for the Lord, we ought to have a seriousness of purpose that comes from realizing that we have a job to do and that we're doing what he told us to do. You see, while the specific instructions from Jesus do not apply to us, the main point does. We are not just to dabble in the things of God. We must stay focused on our mission. Jesus commands every believer to seek first his kingdom and righteousness. A man was fishing without much success on the riverbank down near Bloomer's Hole, down the bottom of the, by the trout there. He noticed a woman further down the bank fishing, and she was reeling in perch after perch after perch. You can eat perch, you know, they're lovely. Frustrated, he finally turned to the woman and said, "What's your secret?" And she said, "Are you fishing for supper or for sport?" He said, "I'm fishing for sport." She said, "Well, there's your problem. I'm fishing for supper." Take it seriously. So we should begin to pray, "Lord, what do you want me to do to further your cause?" And once you've figured that out, then this lesson also gives us a dire warning. Do not give up because of opposition or rejection. Rather, expect it. If you get involved in serving the Lord, you will be criticized, mostly from those in church. So the third word is message. Remember I said there were four words. The third word is message. These harvest workers were to heal the sick and to say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." If their message was rejected, they were still to proclaim as they left the town, "Be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near." So, by their lives and by their lips, they were to proclaim the message of God's kingdom. The kingdom of God, that realm in which he rules. The day, you know, is still coming when Jesus will return and reign over Israel and all the nations. But the kingdom, in its initial phase, has arrived already in the person of Jesus. And the message was that people must submit their lives to the king. But the real warning is this. You remember it? The cities that Jesus warns of terrible judgment to come were religious cities that were familiar with Jesus' message and his miracles. We often hear people say, don't we, that if I saw a miracle or actually heard Jesus in person, then I would believe. Not likely. These people, these towns, Jesus, they heard. Jesus, they saw. They saw what he did. But they hardened themselves against him. They wouldn't submit to him as their king. And you know, to hear Jesus' messengers is to hear him. And to reject them is to reject him. The same thing that happened there could happen here in England. Our nation has had great light, but even many of those who profess Christ show by their lives that they're not subject to his lordship. It's a terrible thing for those with such knowledge to reject the gospel. So our gospel shouts at us the words, prayer, mission, message, and finally, urgency. As I said earlier, I realize that we must be sensitive to people. We can't grab them by the lapel and shout warnings about hell. But even so, do we have a sense of urgency about our mission? Time is short. We must keep eternity constantly in view. In 1981, during a golf tournament in Dallas, a massive tree limb broke off and fell on a spectator who was killed instantly. It happened near the third hole where Charles Coody was playing at the time. Shortly after the accident, he was interviewed on the radio and he said, "After running over and seeing the accident, I tried to play golf. Yet I had no desire to play after that. All of a sudden, those 3-foot putts didn't seem all that important. The suddenness and certainty of death should instill a sense of urgency in us who know what Jesus taught about the judgment to come. We should pray for openings with lost people. We should pray that God's people would be working in the harvest with a sense of mission. We should clearly proclaim the message that Jesus is Lord and King, and that people must accept his offer now or face the consequences later. People all around us are plummeting towards eternity without a parachute. Jesus Christ is the parachute. If you know that fact, pray for the harvest and for more workers. Go with a sense of mission to labor in the harvest field. Live and speak the message in a way that honors Jesus Christ as Lord and King and shows lost people his offer of peace. In light of eternity, the gospel is the crucial message. But my friends, we are the messengers. Amen.